Perek Yutes Mishnah Vav. Eluhain Tzitzin. The following are going to be different types of skin. This is going back to the Moel who's doing the bris. Nimiya Arish Nisharam and Arla. When the Moel is doing the bris, he removes the Arla, the foreskin. Now, if he leaves too much skin left on the baby, on the Makam Hamila, the place where he's doing the bris, then the bris is actually invalid. So let's see what the measurement is. Hama'akles Hamila, the following will be different types of skins, and if the Moel leaves it there, then the Tinuk, the child, is considered as if he does not have a bris Mila. Basar Achofa Esvov Hatara, if he leaves over flesh that'll cover most of the crown, what does that mean? If Nishar Me'ar Ha'arla or Ha'machas Esvov Gova Shal Atara, Hainu Asafa Ha'gavoa Ha'makefes Ha'git Saviv, Mimena Mishtapeh Ha'vioet L'Rosho, the crown is the upper part of the baby's aver, and over the crown area, if he leaves a skin that'll cover most of the crown, then it's as if the bris milah had never occurred. Ukvar is Quranu Shasaras Arza Dochas Shabbos, and it's so important that the skin is removed that if you don't remove it, it's as if the baby did not have his bris. And if it was Shabbos, you could even cut it off on Shabbos, because without this, the baby is not mol. Claim Shaaf Ach Shakvar Silika Mol as Yadu Minamila Bishabbos Ari Uchosu Mesiris or Shanishar. Halvu Titsum Akav Samila, that means, even if the Moel did the bris, he cut the piece off, the foreskin, and then he didn't, you know, do a good enough job, he can come back, even though he's done with the job, he can come back and remove this extra piece of skin in order, even on Shabbos, in order to make the Mila a good Mila. However, they explain over here, Im lo nishar min ha'ar ela ma'at, she'inu chofesu ova govo shal ha'tara, zeu tzit she'inu ma'akav samila, if you only left over a minority piece of it, which is covering the crown. So a minority piece is not ma'akiv. It doesn't, you know, doesn't kill the milah. The milah still takes effect. And therefore, on Shabbos, if there's only a minority left over, you cannot cut it off. V'amlam kozman shamol osuk b'milah b'Shabbos, choza afal titzin she'enem ma'akivim, afal achas titzin gizyadu b'na milah, afal titzin she'enem ma'akivim. So the rule's like this. The Moel cuts off the foreskin. That's the Arla. Then, sometimes there could be some skin that's left over that covers the crown. So if there's enough skin that covers the majority of the crown, so whether the mole is still doing the bris, or whether he's done and he went home, he could come back and remove that skin, even on Shabbos. However, because that skin is makes the mila, you know, in effect as well, just like the foreskin. So whether he's still doing the job, or he went home, he could come back and remove it on Shabbos. However, if only minority is left over on the on top of the crown, so if he's still involved doing the bris, he can still remove it. But if he went home already, then he cannot, or he left, he cannot remove it, because that part is not ma'akiv. It doesn't, you know, doesn't take away the effect of the bris mila. Moving right along, v'enei ochel batruma, a baby who is a kohen, and let's say the baby grew up, and the skin that was covering most of the crown was never removed. So then, we just said it's like he never had a bris, right? So he's like a Kohen Arl. He's like a Kohen whose foreskin was as if it was never removed. And we learn out from a Truma of a Karban Pesach that a Kohen who still has his Arl, his foreskin wasn't properly removed, he's prohibited from eating Truma. And what if the baby was a very, very fat baby? And even even after you remove the entire foreskin, it still looks like there's skin covering the crown. So then Metakno, the Moel, should remove some more of the skin from the crown. Not necessarily because he needs to. Really, the bris was done correctly, but because of the Maris Ayan, because we don't want any, you know, Maris Ayan, any false eyes looking at the baby and thinking that he doesn't have a proper bris. So the Moel should take off a little bit more, even though it's not really required, you know, I'll pay the letter of the law, but just to make sure that people don't think that the baby does not have his proper bris mila. Mol velo para. The Mishnah concludes, mol velo para, if the Moel does a bris mila, but he doesn't do the pareya, velo para samila. So what does that mean? We had discussed earlier in Mishnah Beis that a moel, when he cuts off the foreskin that covers the crown, he would also, you know, do a priya. He would rip some kind of membrane that was over there by the makom mila, by the place of the mila, until you see the flesh of the crown. So if the moel didn't do a proper priya, he didn't rip this membrane off properly. So ki'ilu lo moel is as if the baby never had a bris mila, and the moel is obligated to go back and do the priya, do this ripping of this membrane correctly. Even though we already learned in the beginning of this Mishnah that if you have flesh covering most of the crown, then it's not a good mila. So why are you going ahead and tell me now that if I didn't do a proper priya, proper ripping of the membrane, it's not a good bris? I would know that already. So he says over here, it's coming to teach us, Shemal b'Shabbos lapar, that if you do a bris mila on Shabbos and you didn't do a proper priya, you didn't rip this membrane properly to reveal the crown, lo kai mitzvah mila, it's as if he didn't do the mitzvah mila. And it's as if he was mechallel, he desecrated Shabbos because he made a blemish in the baby. And there's no mitzvah here because he didn't complete the bris mila. So these two things are very important, that they're done on Shabbos so that the bris is done in full and you're not just making a blemish and desecrating the Shabbos. And that is making sure that there's no extra skin covering the crown and that the priya, the ripping of the membrane, is done as well. Okay, that concludes Perek Yud Tes. Moving right along to Perek Chof. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says, Tolan Es HaMishmeres, a totally new topic. What is Tolan Es HaMishmeres? He says that you can take like a sieve and you can cover it over a pot in order to pour wine in it, and then the sieve would, you know, separate between the liquid and the sediments. And you could do this, you could put this sieve on top of a pot on B'Yom Tov, on Yom Tov, even though there's a problem of making an ohel, making a tent over this utensil, because you're covering the utensil with this sieve. It's as if you're making a tent, and you can't make a tent on Shabbos. On Yom Tov, it's permitted to do it, because since it's being done in order to eat, and we know that on Yom Tov you can cook, that's permitted. So even though you can even make this sieve before Yom Tov, as it says that since you're doing it for food, and it's Yom Tov, it's permitted to do it on Yom Tov. But on Shabbos, it has to be done before Shabbos. It can't be done on Shabbos, because Shabbos is no heter. No, there's no permissibility to, you know, do anything, cook food on Shabbos. So therefore, on Shabbos, it would have to be done beforehand. And then if it is done beforehand, then knows the lechluy of a Shabbos. If it was already, you can't put this, you know, sieve on this pot on Shabbos, because it's if you're making a tent. But if it was ready put there before Shabbos, you're allowed to pour the wine into it on Shabbos and remove the liquid from the sediments. And he doesn't look at it as borer, as if you're selecting the good from the bad, because he says this is not the normal way, it's not the derech to do borer on Shabbos. Okay, so that's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion regarding Yom Tov and regarding Shabbos. Chachamim Omer, the Chachamim say, Ein Tolen, Es HaMishmeres B'Yom Tov, Ve'Nos in the Tluya B'Shabbos. They're very stringent. They say that you cannot put this sieve on top of a pot on Yom Tov, even on Yom Tov you're doing it to cook. They say over here because you should have done it Erev Yom Tov, before Yom Tov, and because you didn't do it before Yom Tov, it's prohibited to do it on Yom Tov, because it looks like you're making a tent, and even though it's for the food, it doesn't bother them, and they don't care about that, and they say it's still prohibited because it looks like you're making a tent. And even in a case of Shabbos, when it was done already, they know it's luchos of Shabbos. They held that even when the sieve was put on top of this pot on Erev Shabbos, so you may not have a problem with making a tent, but the Chachamim will hold that when you pour the wine in and it separates the liquid from the sediments, it is like you're doing borer, it is like you're selecting on Shabbos, which is prohibited. So that's the Chachamim's opinion regarding Yom Tov and regarding Shabbos. Avol knows not to leave Yom Tov, however, the Chachamim will be lenient that if you made this sieve on top of the pot before Yom Tov came in on Erev Yom Tov, and on Yom Tov is permitted to put the wine into it and separate from the liquid to the sediments, because since you're doing it to eat, there they permitted on Yom Tov, and there they would be lenient. So here you have two opinions regarding making this sieve on Yom Tov and on Shabbos, according to Rabbi Eliezer and according to the Chachamim.